This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. We'll hit some of these points from the press conference today, talk about what happened with Pete Hegseth and Mark Milley, some emails, some immigration deportation updates. I'm pretty sure Trump got the cleaning lady here in our building. All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I promised you I would dig into this, and I'm going to dig into this now. Caroline Leavitt. Now, I don't know if I should say I know her. Because I don't know her. I've hung out with her before. We ended up, Ab and I ended up at the same event Caroline did. This is a few years back when she was running for Congress. And me, Ab, a bunch of us, we ended up hanging kind of as a group that night. So I don't want to act like we're friends. We don't text. I don't call her. I don't even have her number. But I do know her a bit. And I liked her. Ab liked her a lot. Very, very sharp human being. Very sharp human being, and she's Trump's new press secretary. Came out today and did her first press conference. Now, before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the structuring of it, because there was something wonderful happening in the country, really in Western civilization, and it's being pushed along now by the Trump administration, and that something is the dismantling, the disintegration of the traditional news outlets. ABC, NBC, AP, Reuters, they still exist, but now so many people have turned them off. They've turned off NBC Nightly News. They don't watch Face the Nation on Sunday anymore. They don't read the New York Times. People get their information from other sources now. Radio, podcasts, social media, the Substacks, blogs. There's just a million different ways people get information now. And that... the alternate sources of information. That is one of the greatest blows the communist system has suffered in recent memory. Because they've been able to control and, in fact, create so many narratives because you can only go to a few outlets. You know, when you have, we'll call it five, it's more than that, but when you have five corporate media outlets, well, you don't exactly have to climb Mount Everest to ensure that your message and only your message will get out. Work your way through those five institutions, and those five institutions will carry your water for you forever. So if, for instance, you want to spread that, oh, ivermectin is bad for you. Now, you know that's a lie because ivermectin's been taken by human beings in the billions of doses, as we said, but you know that's a lie. But if there's only five of you and you're all trying to sell big pharma products and you're trying to stop people from saving their lives because you want as high a death count as possible under Trump, well, just convince five organizations to say ivermectin's horse paste, and then there you go. The communist has loved the control of it. Yeah, Chris, go ahead and play that part. Hillary Clinton, that's why she's not the only one to say this. It's just one example. Why do they keep talking about, well, we got to get control of all this?
We should be, in my view, repealing something called Section 230, which gave, platforms on the internet immunity because they were thought to be just pass-throughs, that they shouldn't be judged for the content that is posted. But we now know that that was an overly simple view, that if the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control. And it's not just the social and psychological effects, it's real harm.
We lose total control. You see, it's all back to these people thinking they're kings and queens. They want to rule as kings and queens. They know they have to act as if they care about freedom and liberty, but that's not how they see themselves, and they definitely don't see you as a free citizen. They see you as a peasant who lives to serve them, the kings and queens, and they're always finding a way to rule you as such. And back to the White House press conference today. There's been a normal way this has gone. The normal way this has gone, certainly under the Biden administration, is You sit up there if you're the Biden's press sec, if you're Corinne Diversity hire, you sit up there and you call on NBC five times. Just let them ask a list of questions, and then you move on and you call on the AP. Actually, AP is normally first. Did you know that? AP is normally first. They'll call on the AP, and then Reuters, and then ABC, then NBC. And none of the social media places, none of the blogs, none of the podcasts, none of those are usually even allowed in the room, and they certainly don't get asked any questions. But today, Caroline Leavitt and the Trump administration, they not only packed the room full of people from all different outlets, so you had the traditional ones there and all kinds of new ones, they've announced publicly that they're accepting applications to take even more alternate publications in there so people can ask questions. What that means for you and me is instead of NBC getting to ask five questions today, they got to ask one and then told to sit down and shut up, and everybody moved on to other questions. This is a complete new way of thinking, new way of doing things. We have not seen this before, but as the public has begun to reject the evil of Western governments, the evil of Western media, and as the public has sought out new news sources, the Trump administration is helping them along in that effort, and it is wonderful. And without total control of the messaging, communism fails. And the communists have known that forever. They have to control what people see, what people read, what people watch, what people hear. They have to control it. Without that control, no one's going to buy the system of lies they're trying to build for you at all times. Nobody. They want you to think whatever they want you to think, because after all, remember what Catherine Mayer of NPR said? They're trying to reach consensus, you see.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
You're so worried about the truth. We're trying to get stuff done with consensus. But now people can find it. All right, so Caroline Leavitt opens up the whole thing today to a bunch of normal people, but she still called on the standard apparatchiks in the press. Here's about how it went.
3,500 arrests ICE has made so far since President Trump came back into office. Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws, and therefore they are criminals, as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal.
My word. I might just sign off for the show on the night, and I might just play that over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you know why? It's not fanboying over Caroline Leavitt or Trump or anything like that. It's the attitude change on the right. We've been talking about this for a while now. Certainly over the last week, we've been talking about how the right has finally dropped this lame, nice garbage that has led it to be eaten alive forever, and the right has developed teeth forever, forever, for as long as I've been alive. If a reporter asks this question of a Republican administration, if a reporter asks this.
3,500 arrests ICE has made so far since President Trump came back into office. Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
Well, Harold, I'm really glad you asked that question, Tina. You look lovely today. I thank you so much for that. And I want you to know that I've directed my administration. We have bent over backwards to ensure that only the most violent criminals will be deported under this administration. We are not out here to separate families. We want to do the right thing while ensuring the community is safe. So, Tina, I thank you so much for your lovely. That's how the GOP would have answered that question forever. Allowing them to frame everything, allowing them to control language, allowing them to do it all. Instead, that has stopped. How many of these people are criminals? All of them. Every single person, man, woman, child who is in this country illegally is a criminal. Every one of them. And that's not right wing. That's how you run immigration in any country. That's how it's always been done. Only in this country, which has been ruled by the disgusting communists on the inside, Only America would say otherwise. Well, I'm not really sure if any of them are criminals. But we are finally past this namby-pamby, well, I have to be nice to Tina in the press. We're finally done with this nonsense. And this goes way beyond the Trump administration, way beyond Caroline Leavitt. I see this in my personal life everywhere, my friends everywhere. We have finally developed some teeth. Why does the communist seem hesitant, afraid? Why is he jumpy right now? He's never been handled like this ever. Keep going. Keep showing up at your school board meeting and getting loud. Keep showing up at your city council meeting. Go run for office and run some dirty commie scumbag out of his local office. And be loud about it when you do. And when they come at you, come right back at them harder and faster. That's how we treat them. That's how the communists must be treated if you want to save your country. All right? Don't forget that. She really killed it today. But the problem is the abortion industry was killing today, too. You see. Every day. Roe versus Wade, no Roe versus Wade, Republican, Democrat. They kill all the time, the unborn. What do we do about that? How do we fight back like that? We got Roe versus Wade overturned. What else can we do? We get women ultrasounds. The most practical, tangible tool in the fight against abortion is the ultrasound. The ultrasound introduces a mother to her baby. She goes from being a scared young lady getting ready to kill it to a mother hearing a heartbeat. Go donate $28 to Preborn. It's tax deductible, and that $28 buys the ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We do have Theo Wold coming up in about 10 minutes from now. He's the guy responsible for all those executive orders Trump signed on day one. What went into all that? Let's get smarter in about 10 minutes, shall we? In the meantime, let's keep being stupid. No, I'm kidding. Let's keep going back to what we were just discussing about controlling the narrative. Not letting them to control everything, reframe everything. All these illegals, how many of them were criminals? All of them. You hear this? You hear this? We've talked before about language and the communist and how purposeful he is about language and why that is. The communist doesn't use words by accident. His words are carefully selected to move the revolution forward. His lies, they're always lies, carefully selected. And if you have to describe something that's in any way damaging to your cause, you must choose the correct words to put the best face on that something humanly possible. Again, all communism is deception, because if you're honest about any of it, no one would accept it. Listen to this reporter exchange when they're talking about illegals versus undocumented.
Seized cash, weapons, and actually made an arrest of, quote, 50 illegal aliens right there. Alex?
Yep. We call them undocumented immigrants, but that, again, was in the release from the DEA.
She couldn't just let that get out there. Illegal aliens. No, we call them undocumented. Why do they call them undocumented? Because illegal conveys the truth that person came into your country illegally, that they are a lawbreaker who violated your sovereignty. Well, the communist wants them here to break this country in two. So they have to present the finest face. They have to put the best face on it humanly possible. That's why they die. Well, I just want to correct you. They're not called illegals. We call them undocumented here. The communist understands language matters. Remember that for your sake. For my sake, language matters. The communist is purposeful about his language. He uses his language for a reason, always to deceive, always to move the revolution forward. More Caroline from today.
Will there be a focus on the overstays for visas as well?
If an individual is overstaying their visa, they are therefore an illegal immigrant residing in this country, and they are subject to deportation.
Gosh, I'm having so much fun so far.
This administration believes that birthright citizenship is unconstitutional, and that is why President Trump signed that executive order. Illegal immigrants who come to this country and have a child are not subject to the laws of this jurisdiction. That's the opinion of this administration. We have already appealed the lawsuit that was filed against this administration, and we are prepared to fight this all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to, because President Trump believes that this is a necessary step to secure our nation's borders and protect our homeland.
And she went ahead and fired a shot across the bow at the last administration.
And I will say it's very easy to speak truth from this podium when you have a president who is implementing policies that are wildly popular with the American people. And that's exactly what this administration is doing. It's correcting the lies and the wrongs of the past 4 years, many of the lies that have been told to your faces in this very briefing room. I will not do that. But since you brought up Truth Seek, I would like to point out, while I vow to provide the truth from this podium, we ask that all of you in this room hold yourselves to that same standard. We know for a fact there have been lies that have been pushed by many legacy media outlets in this country about this president, about his family, and we will not accept that. We will call you out when we feel that your reporting is wrong or there is misinformation about this White House. So, yes, I will hold myself to the truth, and I expect everyone in this room to do the same.
Dang, that's pretty good. She's pretty good, right? And this little doozy here, the amount of waste in our government, the looting of the American treasury, the looting of the taxpayer in this country, it really is one of those things. I don't want you to do this, but I'm amazed people aren't marching on Washington with pitchforks and torches out. I really am. Because of the constant state of abuse with our money.
DOGE and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money.
Who came up with that initially? This comes back to something I've talked about before. Again, we're going to talk to Theo Wold here in a minute, the executive order guy. And also remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But I've brought this up before. Okay, she brought up $50 million for rubbers for the Middle East. Who put that in there? Why do we never, ever, ever know? Nobody can tell me. You've heard me rant about this before on the show. If I write a book, and I did, it's called The Anti-Communist Manifesto, now available on paperback, available at jessekellybook.com. But either way, if I write a book and I put a fact in there, if I put anything in there, it has to have a citation on it. I have to note where I got that information. And in that note, I lay everything out very specifically. So if you want to go seek out the information I put in the book, you can go find exactly that. Now, this is for a meaningless book. This is for a book I wrote. Why do the laws, the rules of this country, why are there no citations? Why do I not have a name? Who is the person? Not some group, not lobbyists. What is the name of the person who decided $50 million of your money should go to rubbers in Gaza? Tell me, what's their name? That has to change too. All right, Theo Wold joins us to talk executive orders. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. So I don't know about you, but I think back to last week, a week and one day ago, when we tuned in to the Oval Office and we saw stacks and stacks and stacks of executive orders. It was like they were up to the freaking ceiling, and we just completely flooded the zone with everything. But who wrote all those things? Whose idea was all that? Joining me now, former Deputy Assistant to President Trump, former Solicitor General of Idaho, almost said Ohio, that wouldn't make any sense, Theo Wold. Okay, Theo, walk us dumb civilians through the process of executive orders and putting a fat stack of them on the desk day one like that. How did this happen?
Yeah, so Jesse, thanks for having me on. So I think, look, like, here's the key thing that folks got to understand about, you know, the executive order process, how it gets to the president's desk. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into vetting these ideas on the front end. So you've got lawyers, you've got policymakers sitting down trying to figure out, number one, what's the problem? Number two, how can we solve this through pure executive power, not a statute that passes through Congress, not a court-ordered decree, but just pen and paper from the president? And then number three, how are we going to present this? What's the vehicle for getting this out in front of the president and then distributed to the executive branch? Because that's what an executive order is. I think a lot of people forget that is it is an order or a command from the president sitting at his desk that his executive branch, the departments, the agencies, all the civil bureaucrats will do this thing. And so this thing is, you know, eliminate DEI programming. This thing is eliminate a birthright citizenship for illegal aliens. This thing is we're going to, you know, declare that federal policy now recognizes two sexes, male and female. And so there's a lot of work on the front end. But the big thing here is it's got to be a vehicle that's got some kind of legal nexus. And it's got to be something that the executive branch can actually carry out.
Okay, so let's focus on that one, because as you mentioned, there are lawyers involved, and this is a world completely beyond my world. So Donald Trump wants to stop DEI in every branch in the government. What do you have to do to come up with that executive order? How many layers does it have to go through? How many edits are there? How big of a nightmare is it to come up with that one piece of paper we all watch him signing on television?
Yeah, so I think this is one of those, you know, comical parts of government, right? Which is if the average person who says, look, you've got a leaky toilet, I get in there, I fix it. We have an airstrip that's full of, you know, potholes, and it's costing us a bunch of money. You pave the airstrip. In government, it turns out you say, this is the problem. We are no longer evaluating applicants for jobs. We're no longer evaluating individuals for promotion based on their merit. We're looking at their skin color. We're looking at their gender. We're looking at all these other extraneous factors to their job performance. Okay, so that's the problem. This is where the lawyers get involved. Then the solution becomes about, okay, well, look, it turns out that some federal agencies have the ability to prefer subcontractors based on skin color or gender. Some agencies have the ability to arrange their HR departments this way. So to solve the problem, it's not just taking the wrench to fix the leaky toilet. It's actually figuring out, ultimately, what's the legal basis for the existence of DEI programming, and what's the legal basis to remove it? And so the work on the front end from lawyers, and I know this is one of those things that people will hate to hear because we all love to hate lawyers. The work by the lawyers on the front end is immense. I mean, it's hours and hours of pouring through court cases, existing federal regulations, sometimes, you know, analogous state policies. If state governments have a similar government, okay, how did the state get rid of this kind of idea? Could we do it at the federal level the same way? And that's all the work that goes into producing essentially, you know, what is a 2- or 3-page document? It's hours and hours of work to write one of those single executive order paragraphs.
Can you, again, we're speaking with Theo Wold, former Deputy Assistant President Trump. Okay, can you explain to me when the thinking started, when the idea came to drop so many on day one and just keep flooding them out there? Because I've been talking about this. It's frustrated me for as long as I live watching Republicans kind of dip their toe in the pool and ease their way in. People are yelling, but not this time. It's just boom, 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 boom. Tell me about that idea.
Yeah, and I think I love that you're honing in on that, because I think that's really one of the greatest lessons to come out of, you know, 45 that the president obviously has prioritized as 47, which is how do you take power and how do you wield it? And as you note, I think correctly, usually Republicans say, well, you know, we got to go slowly. We got to sort of adjust the temperature in the room, you know, degree by degree. And the president was very clear with the leaders of some of the organizations he worked with over the last couple of years that for the first week in office, he wasn't going to be messing around. He wanted to move quickly, and he wanted to move systematically through all the biggest hurdles and obstacles to good governance in the country. So it was his expectation for going back, I mean, a year and a half, if not 2 years, that the opening week wouldn't be one executive order. If you recall, remember way back in 17, January of 2017, he signed one executive order on day one, that it wasn't going to be like this time. He wanted sort of shock and awe. And I think the other thing that you note, which is in the shock and awe, it has proven pretty difficult for the left and a lot of their, you know, supporters in the media and in Congress to keep up with the flow. And that's by design. It is by design to both systematically uproot a lot of the Biden administration's work through executive order, but also to flood the zone so it is more difficult for them to file the lawsuits, to do their due diligence and find the tiny vulnerabilities that exist in some of these executive orders. So look, I think a lot of people forget this isn't a new presidential administration. It's the second chapter of an ongoing story, right? So he's coming in here clear-eyed. He's got a team like Stephen Miller learned a great deal last time from how courts approach the executive orders, how Congress thinks about them, and he's made adjustments so that we don't fall into the same traps as we did in 45. And so I think what you're seeing is power, how to take it, how to wield it, and how to keep your enemies off balance.
Do you get the impression, Theo, that there are fewer snakes in his administration this time than last time? I've been extremely critical of Trump for his personnel decisions during his first 4 years. I'm so blown away, impressed by the efficiency I see right now, by the organization I see. And I'm not going to ask you to name names, but I don't see Jared Kushner running things anymore. I don't see the people kneecapping him the way it happened last time. But that's what I see. What do you see?
Yeah, so I think it's a continuation of the same theme, right? Number one, I would say as one of the, I think this is somewhat inarguable, there was maybe 12 to 20 of us last time who were 100% aligned with the president's agenda and saw our jobs as ensuring that his agenda was furthered. And look, all of us, you know, friends of mine to this day, all of us can tell stories of how we were punished over the years because of that. This time, the president, I think, has learned. And if the president hasn't learned, then people, again, like Stephen Miller, have learned, which is you look at the playing field. And the difficulty for the person keeping score at home is it's not always the big roles, the exciting roles, where people can prove to be the obstacles to the president's agenda. It's those positions you don't hear about in the news that turn out to be those, the bend in the joint where things get broken. And so this time, people like Stephen Miller said, no, I'm going to make sure that we have someone who's perfectly aligned with the policy vision and is someone known for their aggression in these key positions throughout the government so that the agenda doesn't get stalled out and that we are getting the maximalist idea through the system every time. And that, again, is just, you know, the benefit of having this, look, the silver lining here. And I know a lot of people, myself included, I would have wished that he wanted, you know, he cleared the decks and he was allowed to take office in 2020, no interruption. But the silver lining in all of this is he came in last week with eyes wide open and a knowledge of how the deep state works. And he's got a team now who's willing to fight the deep state alongside with him instead of say, hey, let's go slow. Maybe we can persuade them.
Yeah, he certainly did. That four years honestly may have been necessary, as freaking miserable as it was.
As miserable as it was. That's right.
Yeah. Former deputy assistant to Donald Trump, Theo Wold, thank you so much for teaching us some things tonight, Theo. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Good to be with you.
How about that? We're so much smarter than our friends and family now about how this stuff works. What, Chris? We are. I'm going to go home. I think I'm going to text someone tonight about that. Hey, you know how they do executive orders and how that stuff works? Oh, you don't? I do. That's too bad. Anyway, maybe you should listen to the Jesse Kelly Show and then you'll be smart like me. That's what I'll tell people. I tell people that all the time, Chris. What? As often as I tell people about rough greens. I tell people, listen, your dog's going to die because of you. I mean, he's going to die too early because of you. I love telling people that. And then they get all sad and mad at me. And I said, don't look at me. I put rough greens on my dog's food. My dog gets vitamins and minerals. My dog gets probiotics. My dog gets real nutrition. You're the one giving your dog the empty calorie garbage that is dog food. Why do you think all dog food is brown? Why is it all the same color? That doesn't make sense unless you just accept that they've killed all the nutrition in it and you're giving your dog nothing. We go to the vet too much and the vet's freaking expensive. I swear Rough Greens will save you money. You want a free jumpstart trial bag of it? Sprinkle it on your dog's food? 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday. And do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we're going to dig into some of those emails in just a moment. But did you hear about this rapper chick? I can't. Just listen.
As I'm walking, I see him like making faces or whatever. I'm like, oh, man.
She already knew.
I can fit in his car.
No, believe me, you can.
Yes, I can.
Believe me.
He told her there's not enough room in his car.
The kicker part was when he started to talk about his tires. You know, I feel like that was a slap in the face. That was like my tires, you know, like.
The driver said his tires could not handle her weight.
For every big person, you turn down because they can't fit in your car?
Yeah, because they need to order the Uber XL.
No, I don't never have to order Uber XL.
He apologized, canceled the ride, and left her there. The rapper says she's pretty tough.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
I've seen this lady. She's got to be 20 boxes. 20, 30 boxes. And since the dude didn't show up in a one ton, he decided he couldn't handle the weight. I'm sorry, it's just so funny to me. Everyone has to try to be famous for something nowadays. And today, you have some rapper who weighs 8,000 pounds. Now she even gets a news story out there because she can't fit in the Uber. What a world. Jesse, why do you think we never seriously helped the South Vietnamese retake the North? We spent over a decade backing the South, helping them defend from the North, but why? If we were there because communism is bad, then why didn't we just eradicate, liberate the North? The United States of America has never, ever, 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 ever been comfortable with conquest. There are societies throughout history who have been very comfortable with conquest. That's just kind of how they did things. The United States of America has never been that way, ever. And contrary to what your America-hating dirtball professor taught you in college, to what your teachers teach you in school, the Trail of Tears, even early settlers in the United States of America, because this country was so Christian-based, were very uncomfortable expanding and what to do with the Indians. I don't know what to do. What do we do? I know every modern-day live, we just genocided them. It was a nonstop point of argument in this country. What do we do? Should we leave them? Maybe we should move them here. I don't understand. No, we can't just. It was always a debate, always an argument. We were always feeling icky as we moved westward and moved westward and moved westward. We were always unsure of ourselves about it. You still see evidence of that to this day, evidence that is exploited by the libs in your life. We experienced it. Remember that history show I did on the Philippines, on the war in the Philippines, when we won the Spanish-American War, and then we really kind of conquered the Philippines, and how uncomfortable and how unpopular that was at the time. Huge controversy in this country. Should we be there? We shouldn't be there. This is wrong. We're not a colonial power. We're better than this. The United States of America does not fight wars of conquest. We really just don't. We do not fight wars of conquest. The two you can argue we did, one, let's talk about the Civil War. Now, I realize the United States of America split then, but that was a war of conquest. And, you know, Sherman's March to the Sea. When he's burning down fields, burning down homes, tearing up railroad ties. What is that doing? That's starving the civilian population to death because there was going to be no middle ground. It was a war of conquest. The North coming into the South and saying, we will rule you. And they did. And the only other war of conquest that I can really think of we've ever fought was World War II. We fought it as if it was a war of conquest, of course, and then we promptly handed pretty much everything right back to them. But that's what a war of conquest looks like what we did with Japan. We'll bomb all your cities to powder, and then we'll send a million-man unit in, and we'll kill anybody who gets in our way. But the United States of America doesn't really do that, you see. without an excuse, without a huge reason. I don't want to say excuse, like Pearl Harbor or something like that. We don't do it. Look, if you wanted to win the Vietnam War, you could have won it. All those brave men who fought over there, you could have won it. We had the troops for it. We had the studs for it. We had the equipment for it. You could have just invaded the North, period. Enough of these kid games. Let's invade the North. We'll put Saigon under a mountain of rubble. We'll level your entire country. It's all ours now. In fact, it's the 51st state. We could have done that. But what you can't do is half conquest. And that's what we tried. Hey, Jesse, these reporters are pestering Tom Homan every chance they get. Are they not essentially asking him to break the law? No, what they're essentially doing is they're trying to protect a central plank of American communism, and that is the unending importation of foreign barbarians, which guarantees the crushing of the country. So Tom Holman's doing very well.
Are you treating migrants humanely?
Yes.
But there's been reports of them on planes with no water.
That was a bunch of
complaining.
Crap. That was a bunch of crap.
What do you mean a bunch of crap?
ICE detention facilities had the highest detention standards in the industry. And we're going to force laws to this country. It's not okay to enter this country illegally. It's a crime. And when you cause a crisis as big as the Biden administration caused, when you overwhelm the border patrol, but they can't do their national security job, that's when the fentanyl come across, kill a quarter million Americans. That's when you have a 600% increase in sex trafficking. That's when you have a record number of non-inspected terrorists coming across an open border. President Trump's going to secure the border, as promised to the American people, and we're going to force immigration laws. That's what we're going to do, without apology. We're on board. We're going to go forward. You're going to see it get a hell of a lot bigger in the near future.
The media sees themselves as the sword and shield protecting Western communism and ensuring it gets ingrained everywhere. That's how these people see themselves. They see themselves as warriors. We mock them as journalist losers. But you know what? Jim Acosta is a great example. Jim Acosta was offered the midnight slot on CNN, which is a huge demotion, money-wise, prestige-wise, and otherwise. And they instead just chose to quit. Listen to this person sign off. Listen to how this person sees himself.
It is never a good time to bow down to a tyrant. I've always believed it's the job of the press to hold power to account. I've always tried to do that here at CNN, and I plan on going doing all of that in the future. One final message. Don't give in to the lies. Don't give in to the fear. Hold on to the truth and to hope. Even if you have to get out your phone, record that message. I will not give in to the lies.
This is a human being. Maybe you're screaming at the radio. He's lied about everything forever. Yeah, but he's a soldier, you see. He's fighting revolution. That's how he sees himself. Now, would you like to learn more about history stuff? Maybe the ancient Christian church. How much do you know about the ancient Christian church? The U.S. Constitution, the Roman Republic, its rise and its fall, which is sad. How much would you like to know about that? Because Hillsdale, everyone knows Hillsdale College, elite education. You're lucky if your kid can get in. I'm sure mine won't. Anyway, Hillsdale is offering free education for all of us. More than 40 free online courses. You think you know everything? You always learn something. You always learn something new. You feel smarter. You feel more ready. How about Constitution 101? Why don't you start there? Jesse, what do I watch with my kids? It's right there. There's no cost. There's no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go nerd out on history. We still have an hour left. Let's talk a little bit about these ICE raids. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.